Amen. We're gonna go to the book of John. John chapter 11. Amen. I love that portion of Scripture. John chapter 11. Well, I'm up here. My sermon book's back there. And I don't like that. We were in Bible school, and I come to my mind when I got up here. This one preacher, that one time I won't mention who it was, and you guys wouldn't know him anyways, but he began to brag. Oh man, I'm preaching today, and he said, I got 4 lines of notes. Man, he said, that's all I got. And I know him, he'll get up there and he'll preach a good message, 30, but he was bragging on that. And well, I don't know if that's quite scriptural. Because, I mean, the more Bible we use, the more we dig into the Word. And the Word of God says, study to show thyself approved. And God requires of a minister that he really seeks diligently for the message he receives. And so, I might not have the notes, but it's in here, and I know it's what God has for us today. And so, I'm settled, I'm at ease in my heart, knowing that this is what God has for us today. And so, if you open your heart, receive from God. Receive from God what He has for us today. Amen. What I'm going to preach on the subject today is, what does God want to do? What does God want to do? I can take that many directions. What does God want to do? I mean, we can go many places with that. But I think it's more appropriate to add this on the end of it. What does God want to do with you? Because, I mean, I can get up here and I can preach a great message how God wants to use the church to win the world. God wants to use the church to do this and to reach in the unreached parts of the world. And God wants the church to do so much. But really, what's relevant? What does God want to do with you? That's relevant. That's relevant. What does God want to do with you? And then you let Him do what He wants to do in you, and then she lets Him do what God wants to do in her. And after all that happens, then we can look at the grand scheme of things and see how God is moving in the church. But it starts with an individual, with a personal relationship with God, and God moving in that individual. So what does God want to do? What does God want to do? That's the problem nowadays. What does God want to do, and what is happening? What is happening? And I believe one important thing, and this is what I'm going to preach today, one important thing that we need to grasp a little better, to do and to understand what God wants us to do, is we need to understand, not only understand, we need to learn to hear the voice of God. The voice of God. And that's simply what I'm going to preach on today. Simple message. But the voice of God. The voice of God. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before You right now. God, we ask You to quicken each spirit in here, God, that the Word of God may take root deep within them, God. Deep within them, God. Oh, God, that we be able to hear the voice, God, Your voice, God, quickening us to do this, quickening us to go there, quickening us to study, to pray, to seek Your face, God. In the name of Jesus, God. God, quicken each spirit in here, God, to grab a hold of this message, God, and to be more in tune with what You would want to say to them. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Help me, Lord. Help me to preach today. Amen. So what does God want to do with you? Just for a moment, I'm going to talk, share my heart, but it's a great concern that I had for a long time. It seems today, many of the Christians, they aren't hearing the voice of God. And it concerns me that times in my life, the voice of God isn't as clear as it should be. And that is well needed. When we're filled in a world, in a Christian age, I mean, that's really not so Christian. It's filled with garbage. It's filled with truth. It's filled with light. And at the same time, we're filled in a world where there's so much hurt, so much pain. And the voice of God, what does it want us to do? What does it want us to do? And so we're filled in this generation, and the voice of God wants us to reach the lost. It wants us to dig in the Scriptures and know the truth and seek out the truth of God. And we're in this age, and it seems like the voice of God is being drowned out by so many things. And we get so wrapped up in life and so wrapped up in this and so wrapped up in that, that the voice of God is drowned out. And my cry today is simple. God, open our ears that we may hear Your voice a little better. It's one of the benefits of being filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will lead us into all truth. It will guide us. It's our guide, quickening us. I'm walking down the highway and bam, the Spirit of God smotes me and says, talk to that man right there. That man's going to die tomorrow. Well, he might not tell me that, but I talk to him. The guy gives his heart to the Lord. Next thing you know, he dies tomorrow. The Spirit of God did that. And we're missing the voice of God many times. Many times. Many times. So I got a question for you. Well, when does God speak to us? When does God speak to us? When we're listening, that's the right answer. But a lot of us are under the assumption, we might not realize we're under this assumption, but a lot of us are under the assumption, the only time we tune our ears into God is on Sunday and Wednesday. Really, that's the truth. And sometimes I find myself, we just get caught up in, man, we're living life. We're going along living life. And the only time we really tune our ears into God is on Sunday and Wednesday. The Bible talks about walking in the Spirit. Constantly in tune with God. Does God speak audible voices? Yes, sometimes. But many times He burns it in our heart. And the more we learn to walk in the Spirit, the more we begin to hear the heart of God, and we know what God wants to do. We know what God wants to do. Amen. And let's read a scripture before we get to John. John chapter 11. Now, I looked at this scripture a little bit ago, and in Hosea chapter 4, and verse 6, you turn there if you like, you know it. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Lack of knowledge. Of course, the preacher this morning hit on that. Our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I still believe that scripture is talking about the preaching of the Word. Preaching of the Word, getting the Word within our heart. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge and the lack of understanding. They don't understand what they're supposed to do. They aren't in the Word. They aren't diving in. They aren't a personal relationship. But I believe that scripture means more than just getting in the Word. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. And understanding is not only the Bible. Understanding is things that God will burn in your spirit in times of prayer. When the voice of God will speak to you, you don't even have to be praying. You'll be walking down the street and the voice of God will speak to you. Now that is understanding. And that scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, understanding. And the Spirit of God does that. And we need to learn to be in tune with that voice. That voice. That voice. Amen. In tune with that voice. You know, I think a big part, even before we get into preaching, I picked up this word in Bible school. I don't know where it is in the Bible, but it's not the actual English word, it's the Greek word. And I picked it up, and I don't know where the teacher was. Probably should have been paying a little more attention, Bible school. I'm sure Brother Rene will raise his hand on that one too. But I mean, I was paying attention, and I got this word, and all I got was the word. I don't know where it is. You can probably look and find it in your Power Bible. But the word is kenosis. Kenosis. And I like this word because it triggered me. I wasn't paying attention. All of a sudden he said this word and it grabbed my attention and I got everything from there on out. But I don't know where it is. But the word's kenosis. And what kenosis means is self-emptying. Self-emptying. And I think that's one problem and concern I have. That's why we aren't hearing the Spirit of the Lord as much as we need to. And the voice of God, we need to self-empty ourselves. Tool the devil uses is time, just consumes our time with family, with work, with all this stuff And the stuff might not necessarily be bad stuff, but it's consuming our time and to the point where we're running around wild and we aren't hearing the voice of God. Kenosis, self-emptying. And what we find is when we empty ourselves and we fill ourselves with the Spirit of God, we're walking around full of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will speak to us all the time. You think the Spirit of God speaks once in a while? No, the Spirit of God is continually speaking. Believe it or not, continually speaking. So if we're in tune with the Spirit of God is continually wanting to speak to us and tell us things and teach us in His Word. Not only that, direct us in what we should do next, direct us this way, direct us that way. And many of the Christians in the world today are missing out on that because of that word, kenosis. We need to do that word, self-emptying. And at the same time, when we self-empty, we need to fill ourselves with the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. God's good. Let's get into John. It's a weird passage of Scripture for what I'm preaching, but hey, the Lord wants to go here, so we're going to do it. John chapter 11. Brother Renee hit on it this morning. We're going to talk about Lazarus. And when God rose Lazarus out of the grave. Keep in mind what we're talking about here. We're talking about what does God want you to do? The voice of God. Just coming in tune with the voice of God. Meaning simple, simple, simple concept. But it takes something for us to get a hold of this. John chapter 11. Let's start out reading this. It says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick." That's what I want us to get. When Jesus heard that, He said, His sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, what's your purpose for being? Why do you do what you do? That's a question that haunts every person that ever steps foot on this world, is that question. What's my purpose? What's my meaning in life? And of course, Christian, we find that purpose. But we struggle within ourselves to fulfill that purpose. And many times is because we're not walking, listening to the voice of God along the way. And really the voice of God whispering in our ears got one purpose. And what's that purpose? To bring Him glory. Just as that Scripture said. And so right at the beginning of this story, we see that Lazarus, a dear friend of Jesus and the rest of the apostles and Mary and Martha, Lazarus is sick and he's troubled and the rest of them, they're perplexed. And right off the bat, Jesus realized what this sickness was for. What was it for? The glory of God. It's easy for us. Man, we understand. We read. It's for the glory of God. They didn't understand that. They didn't realize it was for the glory of God. And it's an important fact here that Jesus was in tune with the Father, with the voice of God. He was in tune with Him. Let's read on. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He had heard therefore that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Then after that saith He to His disciples, Let us go into Judea again. And His disciples say unto Him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone Thee, and goest Thou thither again?" And so we see that He's sick. He's in this place. And many things that just startles when you read over this passage, what startles you is Jesus didn't, man, He didn't drop what He was doing. He didn't run over there and heal Lazarus right away. He didn't do that. It says He abode 2 days. 2 days. And when you look at that, that should jump out. And if it doesn't, hopefully it jumps out in your day. He abode 2 days. Why? I can guess. I mean, maybe He was doing something, ministering. But the thing is, I want you to get, is He knew God wanted him where he was for two more days. Now, did that make sense to his disciples? No. And seemingly, if I was Jesus, that wouldn't have made sense to me. But what I want you to get is he was in tune with the Spirit of God, and he knew he was supposed to stay there two more days. Now, that wouldn't have made sense to me. But you better believe, if I was in tune with the Spirit of God and I heard that voice saying, stay there two more days, I'd have stayed there two more days. I'd have stayed there two more days. Wouldn't have made sense to me. I don't wanted to run home if that was my wife and just be there praying and fasting. But no, no, no. He stayed two more days. Why? Because God wanted him there. Too many times we go by feelings. We're driven by our emotions, by our feelings. And the Spirit of God saying, no, 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 no. But we think it's right, and it may look like a right thing to do, and we go that way, and we get ourselves in a mess of trouble. Or it doesn't work out the way God wants it to work out. You know, I'm just trying to get us to realize that the Spirit of God is continually talking. And if we can get our ear tuned in with Him, you know, you can walk around like that. You say, well, I say, man, it's hard. You just get so big. No, begin to practice. Man, it's not something overnight, man. You're going to constantly walk around and, man, this is what God wants me to do. This is what. No. You work on it. Man, give yourself a note card if you have to. Man, just think about what God wants you to do here. You pull it out of your pocket. Think about what God wants you to do here. And constantly you begin to think. And once you do that over a period of time, it begins easier and easier. And pretty soon you're walking your life and constantly you're looking, man, what does God want me to do? At the same time, you're performing your duty, whether it be in work or what. God does not want you to neglect that. But at the same time, you're walking in the Spirit. In the Spirit. You're getting me? The voice of God. The voice of God. Amen. 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 Let's read on here. And so it says in verse 8, his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither. Goest thou thither. You know, the voice of God sometimes will lead us into places that we think we ought not be. Because it's hard. It's hard. You know, I like the Scripture. I like the Scripture. I got it off of somebody. I read over it hundreds of times, probably. Few times anyways, and I never got it. But in Ezekiel 47. Let's read. I want to read it so I get it word for word. Ezekiel 37 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. And talking about Ezekiel, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. The Spirit of God, what did it do? It carried him and it placed him in a place of a bunch of dead people. Hey, and sometimes the Spirit of God will talk to you and it won't make sense to you what it's saying. But when you're in tune with God and He speaks to you in such a way, you know it's what He wants you to do. You know it. It didn't make sense to Ezekiel. And it made sense to Jesus, but I'm not sure it would have made sense to me. Tarry ye 2 days. He stayed. It'll lead us. Into some places, it doesn't make sense. Verse 9 says, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Stumbleth, because there's no light in him. Jesus was walking in the light. And many of us are walking in the light. But many times we don't see the big picture like God sees the picture, like Jesus saw the picture. We don't see the big picture. We don't see what God wants to do, and we're walking like many of these disciples, and we're going along. But we need to listen. We need to listen. Verse 11, right after that, said, these things said he. And after that, he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Jesus saw the big picture. All right? He saw the big picture. And you know what? Sometimes you won't be able to see the big picture. Sometimes God, if you're in tune, you better be in tune with the Spirit of God. And if you are, sometimes God will show you the big picture. But on other occasions, God won't show you the big picture. And so how in the world can you stay in tune with His Word and with His voice if you don't know the big picture? Remember this. Remember this. What we read in verse 4? This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now we know that is the big picture. Big picture. You might not know the details of the big picture, but you know the general thought of the big picture. Am I right? This sickness is for the glory of God. This situation, whatever it may be, is for the glory of God. This circumstance, I know what the Spirit of God is telling me. Maybe not in detail, but it's telling me whatever you're going through, it's for the glory of God. That's what it's telling me. Amen. Amen. And so the disciples, they didn't remember the words Jesus spoke a couple times before. And as we begin to read down through this, the disciples become very confused. Verse 12. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleepeth, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake, they thought he was sleeping. They said, man, if he's sleeping and he's sick, that's a good thing. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. But Jesus clarifies it. He says, then said, or verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So finally the occasion arises and Jesus says, all right, it's time. Let us go unto him that we may minister unto the people there. And so they rise up and they go unto him. Thomas, lovely Thomas here in verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. We may die with him. We may die with him. You know, Thomas lives like so many of us. I mean, we like to downplay Thomas. We like to really, but we're talking about the voice of God here. And one thing we understand about Thomas is Thomas wasn't understanding what exactly was going on. He wasn't understanding, conceiving the voice of God. And if he only understood that scripture, that it was to glorify God, all things that Jesus did were to glorify God, and every situation was to bring glory to God. If he only understood that, we might not have clearly heard the voice of God, but he would have understood. Hey, man, he would have been at ease. He would have not, oh, let us go die with him. Oh, man, we're just in trouble. We might as well just go die with Jesus as he goes there. And he was all bent out of shape. You know, the voice of God is going to lead you to some tough spots. It's going to lead you in some tough spots. But you better know. You better know the purpose. And the purpose is for the glory of God. Purpose for the glory of God. And one thing I want to say about the will of God. We're talking generally about the will of God here, as you will not be happy in your life until you're in the will of God. And I can testify to that. You may be doing something great, man, making all kinds of whatever. I mean, you may be working for the Lord, but you may be trying to work for the Lord somewhere else, but if you're not in the will of God where God wants you, you're not going to be happy. You're going to be miserable. You are. Why? I can tell you because I know. Am I miserable now? No. No, I'm not miserable. I'm very happy. Just got married. Amen. The Lord's good to me. Amen. I'm happy. Why? Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm in the will of God. Why? Because I heard the voice of God. I'm walking with that voice. Could I be happy? Most definitely. How could I be happier? Paying a little more attention to the voice of God and maybe doing a few more things He wants me to do. That's every one of us. Every one of us could be happier. So even if you're the happiest person in here, let's listen to the voice of God a little more, huh? Amen. 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 Verse Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Man, you can imagine what that word did to the disciples. He'd lain in the grave 4 days already. You think that the disciples were remotely hearing the voice of God here? Man, what was taking over? Feelings? Emotions? 4 days? Woo! They're ready. They're ready to get out of there. Wasn't a good situation. Man, people sought to stone them, to kill them, to persecute them. Wasn't a good situation. And on top of that, they view this situation now as an impossible situation, and there's nothing Jesus can do. So how in the world could God get any glory out of this? How could he get any glory out of this? And so they're ready to get out of there. But what did they didn't? They didn't realize that it was for God's glory. And if you're hearing the voice of God, it will always lead you into God's glory. So man, they lost track. They lost track. They're gone. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And so we got Martha and Mary here. Martha and Mary. You can imagine their brother that they loved is dead 4 days, and they sit down, and there's a group of them, and they used to have mourners, and they're mourning, and they're weeping, and they're crying, and the news comes that Jesus has come. So we got Mary and Martha. Let me get the who did what straight. And so Martha, as soon as Martha heard, she hops up. Man, she goes running. Why? Because she knew, even though it was a hopeless situation, that Jesus was on his way. Now Mary stays there. Mary, she had the view of the disciples. Man, Jesus is here, and he's done great things before, and he'll continue to do great things. But she viewed her situation as impossible. But remember, we're talking about the voice of God here. And I believe as Jesus was coming, Martha heard something. It wasn't clear, but Martha heard something of the voice of God coming, and something quickened in her spirit. Something quickened in her spirit the moment she heard that Jesus was coming. And she wasn't sure what it was, as we'll see later. But she knew that the Spirit of God was speaking to her soul. She knew it. She knew it. She might have not known the details, the big picture, but she knew it. So what does she do? She hops up and she runs to Jesus. Runs to Him. Runs to Him. And Mary's like many of us. Man. I thought I was listening to the voice of God, but my man, look where I am. Seems like we always think the situation we're in is impossible. When we look at other situations other people are facing, we're saying, well, this is what I'd do, and this is how I'd get out of them. And well, you're not in the situation. You're not in the situation. And if you were in the situation, I guarantee you'd be different. You'd realize. But that's how Mary and Martha were handling this. So Martha jumps up, and it says, verse 22, but I know that even now, this is the voice. Now this is the voice that Martha's hearing here. Listen. It says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Oh, praise the Lord. You got that? Martha, she heard a voice from God. Now we'll see later, she still is hesitant and kind of doubts that Jesus can raise her up. But she still hears that voice. And she knows that whatsoever thou wilt ask, God will give it thee. She knows that. She knows that. And the voice of God is saying that kind of stuff continually. Continually. To who? To you. To you. The voice of God is saying that kind of stuff continually. He wants every one of us to be more powerful than what we are. But man, we got to get in tune. How do we get in tune? We get in tune by the Word of God. communication with God, walking in the Spirit, falling in love with Him to the point we hear God. We hear God. Enoch walked with God. I'm not even going to get into that, but a little bit. But Enoch walked with God. What do you think that means? You think he actually walked with God? I don't know. I'm not a scholar. I'm not even going to get into it. But I can tell you one thing for sure. He had communion. He walked so close with God that he understood what God wanted to do, when God wanted to do it. And it built up over a period of years to the point where Enoch so walked with God, God caught him up. God caught him up. Man, I want us to get this. I'm almost done. I don't got much more, really. Amen. So Martha, verse 22, I'll read it again. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And see, Martha, she wants to believe. Listen to her response. Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And she knew the Scripture. She knew what Jesus has been talking, that the resurrection's coming, you're going to rise again at the last day. But she still didn't get the full picture. But at least Martha's reaching out there. She's listening to the voice of God. She's trying. But yet, if you're a Martha, you can still dig a little deeper. You can still listen a little closer. I'd say most of us in here, and most of the church world, are probably Marys. But if you're a Martha, draw a little closer. Why? Why? Because there's more God wants to tell you. There's more He wants to talk to you about. You think the heart of God can fit in my hand? Do you think it can? You think you can fit in this building? You think you can contain it in your thoughts? No. The heart of God is just agonizing and leading and guiding and pulling and loving. And that heart of God is speaking a voice, and it's speaking to you day in and day out. And we just drown it out. Life cares. Man, there's a relationship. It's much deeper than anybody in here realizes, including myself. Amen. Just a little bit farther. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Powerful. We're not going to get into it. He that were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She was hearing a voice. She was hearing a voice. Praise God. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. And to all the Marys, I want to say this. The Master is calling you a little closer today. He's come down. Why? Not just today. Tomorrow, the next day, every moment of every day, the Master wants to commune with you. Commune with you. He longs. I forget which preacher it was. Somebody mentioned it in the process of this camp meeting. But Jesus is there at your bedside waiting for you to wake up. Why? Because He wants to talk to you. And we roll out of bed. And sometimes I'm guilty. We roll out of bed. We get a shower. We might read the Bible real quick. We eat our food. We run out the door. We run to work. And God's, hey, I waited all night at your bed for you to wake up because I wanted to talk to you. Amen. It's not always. We've got to be on our face. To talk to God. We do that in the morning, we do that at night, we do that at separate times. But during the day, God can talk when we're in communion with Him. Amen. Amen. See where we picked up here. Verse 28, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that Jesus arose quickly She arose quickly and came unto him. Arise quickly and come unto him. If you need to draw closer to God, that's what you need to do today. You know, it's a process. I'm talking about this process that grows daily. Your relationship with God, and you can hear the voice more as you grow and you grow and you grow, and the voice becomes louder. And you're saying, okay, I need to do that, Kyle. I need to start listening. But there's an important factor. It begins when you decide for it to begin. That's when it begins. And really, we're here now. What better time for some of you Marys to begin now listening to the voice of God? Now. I'm talking to us all the time, and right now He's talking to some of your spirits. And at this altar, in just a few minutes, He wants to talk to your spirit. Guiding you, leading you. Helping you make decisions in life. And it's going to start in a few. It's going to start now. If you let it. Amen. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met Him. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth out unto the grave to weep." You know, they're not going to understand. The world is not going to understand the voice of God. And sometimes God will tell some of you to do things, and you'll try to explain it to your friends, and they'll be, "Huh?" You'll try to explain to your Christian friends, and they aren't in tune with God, and they'll be, "Huh? Huh? You think you're going to do that? You better believe, I think." And you only know when you're really in tune with God and the Spirit of God speaks to you, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Has anybody ever felt that? You can. The world's not going to understand. They're not. They're not. And they didn't understand. Oh man, she's going out to weep. No, she knew He was the answer. And that's why, and when Martha come to her, it clicked in her head, and she said, "If there's any hope, I know where the hope lies, and that's where I'm going." And that's why she went. Amen. Verse 33, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." She wasn't hearing the voice of God here. She went to the right person, but she wasn't hearing the voice of God. But she went. She went. And the longer she spends at the feet of Jesus, the more she's going to understand. You may not understand, you may come to God with questions, but the more you spend at the feet of God worshiping God, and you will begin to walk according to His way and in His light. You will. You may come with questions. Ask them questions. But still, worship God. And as you worship God, the picture becomes clear and clear. If there's anybody in here that is struggling understanding the voice of God, continue at the feet of your Master. Continue at Jesus' feet. Continue in His presence. And if you are at a road where you cannot go any farther, I beg you, lock yourself somewhere in a closet until you clearly hear. Because you will. You will. That's a promise in His Word. "Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened." That's His Word. You believe it or not. All I can do is give you His Word. And it's got to take root in your heart. It's got to take root in your heart. Amen. "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping." And this is the part of the story that really moves me. Really moves me. Why? Because it moves Him. It moves Him. "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid Him? And they said unto Him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept." People say, "Oh, He wept because He loved Lazarus." I don't believe that. He wept. That's what I believe. You believe me or not. I believe he wept. Because all those around weren't hearing the voice of God. They weren't hearing that this situation was for the glory of God. And his soul grieved him in his heart. It was for his glory. Your life's for his glory. Your situation's for his glory. It's for his glory. It's for his glory. And he was grieved because his people, them people, did not hear the voice of God. He's grieved. And some of us don't hear the voice of God. He's grieved. And some of us don't hear the voice of God as much as we should. Let God speak to you here. He's longing to tell you things, to instruct you, to lead you, to guide you, to teach you. He's longing. He stays up all night waiting for you to wake up so he can talk to you. Why? Because he wants to. You're his mouthpiece. He loves you. He loves you. I'm going to stop there. Jesus is longing for some of you to tune yourself into him. He's longing. Amen. Shut this thing off. It did itself. Amen. He's longing. He's longing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you right now. God, that you would touch our hearts. And God, that you would begin this day to speak to the Marys, God. Those that have shut their ear to the voice of God. God, that you would begin to speak to their heart right now. And God, and let them know that you desire communion. You desire fellowship in the Word, fellowship in the Spirit, fellowship in worship. You desire that. You desire to lead them along. Oh, let God deal with you right now in your seat where you are. Let God speak to you. Let Him challenge you. Let Him challenge you. And the Marthas, let's draw a little closer. Let's try to hear a little more. Let's try to hear a little more. For surely there's things that all of us in here that are missing, that the Spirit of God is speaking to us. God help us right now. God help every one of us, God, to hear your voice more clearly. Spirit of God, settle upon every heart right now. Draw us closer. As we draw closer to you, God, I pray. God, I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. This wasn't a shouting message, but I want all of us that want to hear the voice of God more clear, I want us to come around this altar for a little bit. I want us to come. Come right now. Come right now around this altar. And let's really just stay in tune. I don't care how long it takes you. Just bow your head. Let's listen. Now God wants to speak to us.